There are 10 words in Scripture that make the difference for those who desire to live fully for Jesus Christ. These 10 words proclaim a powerful promise. They define the Christian faith, and they provide a personal confidence to the heart of every believer. If you will understand them, they will radically change your life. If you will believe them, they will breathe renewed strength into your heart and sustain you through the most difficult seasons of life. Stay with us and learn these 10 important words.
The 10 most powerful words you will ever hear. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. This verse is the basis of our series and the foundation of our faith in Christ. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. God has given us an incredible promise in His Word that opens the door to biblical faith and spiritual victory. In our series, Living Life Through Christ, we will learn how the essence of our faith is found in the promises of God. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called Family Relationships.
Well, in the midst of our family's very busy schedules, we often find that we forfeit that which is dearest to us. There are some important priorities that sometimes get laid aside because we've got deadlines and we've got a business to take care of and we've got so many people pulling on us. But one of the things that is often taken from us is that time that is so needed with our children. Someone once said that love is spelled T-I-M-E. And it's an amazing thing, but when you talk to folks whose families are raised, whose children are in different parts of the country, they'll always say that they wish they would have had a little more time. There's a few other things they would have liked to have said, or a few other areas where they could have given instruction to their children. And I don't think we could overemphasize the need for moms and dads to spend time training and loving and praying with their children. I heard about a church in Florida that was trying to have family events for an entire month. They were trying to get families from the community to come to church, and things were going okay, but there was one problem they were experiencing along the way, and that is that a lot of the parents were dropping the children off at church, but they weren't coming themselves. So the pastors thought about what they could do to remedy that problem, and they finally decided they would issue this announcement. They said, "The Magic of Lassie, a film for the whole family, will be shown Sunday at 5 o'clock p.m. in the church hall. Free puppies will be given to all children not accompanied by their parents." Now, that's one way to get parents either in or out of church in a hurry, I would say. But you know, we need to determine today that developing right relationships with our children is one of the great priorities of life. And in our quest to live life through Christ, we must keep that priority right up at the top all the days of our life. I want to speak to you this morning from the Word of God about how to have a right relationship with our family. And I want to start at the very beginning in your notes. I want you to notice in our outline today the origin of the family. I think sometimes we need to remember the basic truths that are taught to us in the Bible. And I think we need to remember, first of all, that the family originated with God. One of the reasons we need to give great attention to our children, and one of the reasons we need to work at loving our spouses, and we need to preach about this and study about these truths, is because the family was not instituted by the state. It was not created by an organization or a company. The family was originated with God, and the family is an ordained institution by God. And God ordained marriage. We saw that last week in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27. The Bible says, "So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." And so it was God that brought Eve to Adam in that Garden of Eden wedding ceremony. It was God who ordained that man and woman should be together. It was God who ordained that they would have sons, Cain and Abel, and that they would have children, and that they would replenish the earth. This was God's plan. Children are the fruit of marriage. This is also God's plan. And while we thank God for the fact that there are many people who have been born outside of God's perfect will and their lives have been blessed and God used them, and we certainly try to help and encourage those whose lives have not gone according to God's plan exactly, we do not apologize for preaching that God's plan is that children would be the fruit of a husband and wife. This is His ordained plan. And how we thank God for it. The Bible says in Psalm 127 and verse 3, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth." And that word heritage in Psalm 127, 3 means the possession of the Lord. And so here it is. God has ordained the family. God has created man and woman. He brought them together in the first marriage ceremony in the Garden of Eden. And God gave to those families children. And He says, "These children are My children given to you." Now listen very carefully. Sometimes when we preach about stewardship, we say that God gives us funds and finances and He says, "I'm the owner and we are the what? The managers." He says, "I want you to manage this." We call that stewardship. God says in Psalm 127 that children are the heritage of the Lord. That means that the children are His possession. And that He is the owner and that we are the managers, we are the stewards of these precious children that God has given to us. Now, those of you with children still at home, listen very carefully. The most important possession that God will ever put into your hands are those precious children. More important than the motorcycle club. More important than the bowling, more important than the hunting, more important than all of your friends combined, more important than anything and everything, God says, "I've given to you these children. They are the heritage of the Lord." So the family originated with God. And that's why we must understand from the Word of God how to keep the family strong in our lifetime and in our own homes today. But I want to speak specifically also about this truth, that life originates in the womb. Life originates in the womb. Just talking here about some basic truths about the family. God ordained the family. God said, "I want a husband and wife to come together to be fruitful and multiply." And I believe God teaches us in the Bible where life begins. And I believe if we are going to be for the family, then we will have to be for life. And we will have to be a people who are for the life of a child still in its mother's womb. And it's so important today. And I may say this. This is not a political issue. This is a biblical issue. Some half-wit professor at the Antelope Valley College might say, "Well, separation of church and state, separation of church and state." That truth never meant that a preacher could not preach the Bible. In fact, our second president said, and I quote, "It is the duty of the clergy to bring their discourses into the subject matter that is commonplace in our society today." In other words, it is the responsibility of pastors to preach about the sins of the day and the issues of the day. But the Bible says in Job 3 and verse 11, "Why died I not from the womb? Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of your belly?" Job speaking about his life in his mother's womb. Jeremiah 1 and verse 5, the Bible says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." Please notice this. God says, I set you apart when you were in your mother's womb. God says, "I had a purpose for your life when you were there. I recognize that life in the mother's womb." Luke chapter 1 and verse 15, "For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink and shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost." Galatians 1:15, "But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace." I have some friends that are involved in some leadership in the Republican Party. And I heard one of them recently say, "You know, we've just got to be careful that we don't overemphasize some of those types of issues like abortion and homosexuality. We don't want to alienate some voters." Now listen very carefully. You as a Christian should be first and foremost someone that is obedient to the Word of God. It is first and foremost our responsibility to obey what the Word of God says. And we must determine as Christian people that we will stand up for the family and that we will stand up for life. Since 1973, there have been 47,282,293 little babies plucked from their mother's womb. I'll not go into the graphic ways in which that process sometimes takes place, especially in the trimester of a mother's pregnancy, but I'm saying to you, it is the sin that I believe this nation is doing and committing today that grieves God. The Bible is very clear that life begins in a mother's womb. Where are the people who will stand up for the little infants that are still in their mother's womb today? The defenseless pre-born children of America today. Every day, 3,753 times, every day in America, a woman will go to a doctor who will help her kill her unborn baby. 1,370,000 abortions occur annually in the United States of America. Now listen very carefully. God says that the child in the mother's womb is His reward. It is not something that a company brought about. It is not something that a country brings about. It is something that is given as a gift from God. The origin of the family, the beginning of those little children's life is a gift from God. And we had better determine today, if we are truly Bible-believing Christians, that no matter where the culture around us goes, that we will recognize what God says, and God says that He determines that life begins in a mother's womb. So the origin of the family is seen very clearly in the Word of God. The husband and wife brought together by God, and they are told to be fruitful and multiply, and God says that the fruit of the womb is the reward of God. Not something to be disdained, but something to be thankful for. Now let's notice secondly this morning, not only the origin of the family, but the order of the family. God says, I want to give you some operating instructions for your family. And what a great family manual the Bible is. God gives us many principles for how to raise up godly children. By the way, I believe God is a God of order, don't you? If you don't believe that, look up at the stars sometime at night. Just consider the orderliness of this universe. Now let's notice, first of all, the order of authority. God says, in any institution, there must be leadership. There must be authority established in the home. And that principle must be established in the heart of a child at a very early age. God says, I want you to know what my order of authority is. And the first thing we learn about the Christian home is that Christ is the head of the home. Christ is the head of that home. The Bible says in Psalm 127 and verse 1, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. He says it's something that must be blessed by the Lord. The family is something that belongs to the Lord. And then parents have vested authority from Christ. In other words, God has vested authority into His institutions, whether government, whether the church, or whether this matter of the family. God has given to each of these institutions authority, and this authority is something that comes directly from Him, and we must not step in the way of it. By the way, be careful about counseling someone else's children against their own parents. You say, but I don't agree with their parents. You are not their parent. You may want to speak to their parent about it, but it is a lack of ethics to get in the way of a parent as God has ordained them as the authority for those children. And there may be a case where you have been given authority as a foster parent or as an adopted parent. You may be raising up the children for some arrangement that's been made, but be careful that you're not crossing over God's ordained authority. Now, parents are the human authority in the home. The husband and the dad then are the direct authority under God. Listen, men, let me be very careful to say this morning that it is God's will that each of us would not run around like a bunch of Rambos trying to run the show, but that we would serve under Christ. He's the head of the home. And we must keep that in mind at all times, that Christ is the head of the family. And He has established an order for the family, an orderliness. In matters of role and function, God has made a distinction. He has said that the husband is the head of the home. Although there are no differences of intrinsic value or spiritual worth, God has established distinctions in the government, in church, and in the home. And God has said, this is the way that I intend to keep this family running. And while we may not always understand this order, and we may say, well, why does God let the husband have this order in the home when the wife seems more spiritual or more knowledgeable? The fact of the matter is that God has ordained the husband to be the head of the home. By the way, the secular educational institutions of our day have oftentimes battled against this principle. You show me the average gal that's been through college, or the average fellow's been through college. They've had so much feminism. They've had so much questioning from the Bible. Some things I've said this morning have been ripped out of this society's fabric. And yet there is less and less happiness. There's more and more failure in marriage. There are more and more children rebelling as we laugh at the Word of God. And I just simply would say today, God has an order that needs to be followed, and we must come to follow His order today. 1 Corinthians 11:3 says, "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." You see, God has established an order today. They say, "Why are you emphasizing that, Brother Chad?" I'm emphasizing that for the simple fact that God intends for you and for me to carry out His divine will for our lives and for our families. And God intends for us to follow His plan. You see, the problem today is not that kids will not receive authority. The problem is that parents will not get their act together. It's not that children won't receive authority. It's that dads are not doing what God has called them to do. They're not leading. Moms are arguing against the dad, fighting against his authority. They're out to have their own way, like Frank Sinatra. And while dads are wimpy and moms are argumentative, the children are off smoking pot in the backfield. And I'm simply saying that God has ordained that the mom and the dad are to fulfill a role, and that is for the benefit of the children in that family. And dads, let me challenge you today to take the leadership in speaking to the children, nurturing the children, disciplining the children. And while the mother is a keeper at home and she is working side by side with you in raising those children, do not fail in your responsibility to spend time in nurturing those children. A young boy came to Sunday school late, and his teacher, I knew that he was usually very prompt and always on time. And so the teacher said, "Johnny, is there anything wrong? Is there anything wrong with you today? Why are you so late?" And Johnny said, "Well, I was going to go fishing with my dad, but he told me that I needed to go to church. And so I came to church a little bit late." Well, the teacher was very impressed. And the teacher said to Johnny, said, now Johnny, tell me then, why is it more important to go to church than it is to go fishing? And why did you make that decision?" Johnny thought about it for a minute. He said, "Well, Dad didn't have enough bait for both of us." You know, we see a lot of that in today's society. You know, it's good for the kids. But listen, it's good for the dad. It's good for the dad to follow God. You see, the Bible says in verse 1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise." Children are to obey the Lord, their parents. Children are to honor their parents. The word obey here means to listen to or to hark unto. The word honor means to fix value to estimate a value. And moms and dads, the Bible commands the children to honor us. Now listen very carefully. Let's give them something honorable to honor. Let's give them a direction. Let's give them a consistency. Let's give them something that they might follow day after day. You see, inconsistency in authority will always lead to rebellion in followership. Inconsistency in authority will lead to rebellion in our children's lives. I've seen it. If I haven't seen it once, I've seen it 100 times. And children will begin to pick up on those inconsistencies, and they won't take your authority seriously, much less the authority of the pulpit or the teacher at school. They have got to see a mom and a dad consistently following their Lord Jesus to the best of their ability. By the way, no teenager expects their parents to be perfect. They understand that. But they're looking for consistency in the leadership of the family. You look at families in the Bible where inconsistency abounded. You look at the family of Lot And you remember how Lot set his tent towards Sodom and Gomorrah? And then he was in the gate at Sodom and Gomorrah. And at the very end of the story of his life, we see his daughters committing incest. What a tragic, tragic story, the story of Lot. Why? Because of the inconsistent testimony of his life. We see the priest by the name of Eli in the era of Samuel. And Samuel was raised up under Eli. And how we thank God for Samuel's godly mother and her influence on his life. But you recall what the Bible says, and it's in your notes there in 1 Samuel 3:13. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, listen to this, and he restrained them not. You see, Eli's sons were wicked, vile sons, but Eli didn't do anything about it. In other words, God gave an authority pattern to the home, but Eli didn't follow it. And so his sons became more and more and more vile. And so the order of authority is given by God. Now, we can argue it. We can say, I don't like this. I think the wife should be the head of the home. I think the husband should be different. I'm just simply saying that this morning, folks, I don't write it. I just recite it. And I believe that God's blueprint works. And I believe today that this is the owner's manual for the home. God says, I have an order of authority. I need the husband to provide leadership. I need the wife to support that. I need the children to obey both of the parents. And if you'll follow this very simple plan, God says, if you'll train up a child in the way he should go when he's old, he will not depart from it. So the order of authority is clear. Notice, secondly, the operation of authority. The operation of authority. Now, verse 4 gives us just a nutshell operation of authority. And I want you to notice it with me. It says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I've often wondered, why doesn't it say right there, and ye fathers and mothers? I've often wondered that. I don't think it's diminishing the role of a mother. God help us without the influence of our mothers on our lives. Where would we be today? But I find in counseling, and I find in talking to young people and even married adults, that many people struggle through their lives because of issues related to their relationship with their father. An absent father, an angry father, an abusive father, and I'm telling you, those kinds of problems seem to follow people their entire lives. Maybe you've noticed that too. Maybe you've experienced that in your own life, that if things were good, it helped. If things weren't so good, you have to work on it throughout your whole life. How many of you know what I'm talking about right now? Sure you do. And these are real live issues. And that's why God says, hey, dads, you have a very important role. You have a role that needs to be active and visible and involved with your child. And we must not be an exasperating authority. The Bible says in verse 4, provoke not your children to wrath. It means to exasperate them. By the way, let me say that anger never moves a child to God. You know, sometimes, dads, we can be neglectful and neglectful and neglectful. Then when we finally give a word, it's just to yell at the kid. And it just kind of exasperates the problem. And so God says we're not to provoke them to wrath. But notice what it says here. It says in verse 4, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, bring them up. Here we are to bring them to maturity. And it says here that we are to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, what is nurturing authority? I want to just speak about that for a moment. What does it mean to nurture a child along? Nurturing authority involves two aspects. First, it involves biblical instruction. Nurturing authority is where we are giving biblical instruction, teaching our children about God, teaching them about the truths of God, positive instruction and encouragement, teaching them, for example, what is right and what is wrong. Teaching them how to treat their mother. Teaching them how to treat their brother and sister. Teaching them how to say, I'm sorry. And being willing to miss dinner and stay up all night till they say, I'm sorry, if that's what it takes. We're going to teach them what is right and what is wrong. Praying at the mealtime and praying when there's needs in our lives. And loving the church and loving the things of God. These are all ways that dads can teach their children. And of course, reading the Bible, giving biblical instruction. But the word nurture involves a second aspect. It involves also biblical correction, or teaching them right behavior, giving them the correction or the discipline that they need in their life. And how many parents here, a lot of you have teenagers at this particular service, how many of you know that sometimes this is a battle right here? This is a real battle.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. In life, there's nothing more important than knowing where you'll spend eternity. Some people believe that being a good person is their pass to get into heaven, or that this life is all there is. But nothing could be further from the truth. That's why Pastor Paul Chappell wants us to send you his newest book called Paid in Full, Your Debt, God's Payment, as a thanks when you support this ministry financially. Call us at 1-800-68-TODAY or go to dailyintheword.org to request this book for yourself or a loved one. That's 800-688-6329 or dailyintheword.org. Thanks in advance for your support.
So many people request copies of Pastor Chappell's messages every day for their personal use and to share with their friends. That is why we have posted them on our church website, preaching.lancasterbaptist.org. This collection of messages is sure to be a powerful source of inspiration for you, a family member, or a loved one. Log on today to watch or listen.
We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 28 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.